Doctor, about a year ago, there was a really interesting picture that showed the North Pole. I don't know, it was 30 or 40 or 50 years ago on the left, and then the North Pole now, virtually now, on the right. And it looked as though 40 or 50% of the North Pole had melted. Is that correct?
It's interesting you should mention that. In fact, when I was in grad school, I had the opportunity, that was where I did my PhD research, and I went on several icebreaker expeditions, and twice I ended up being able to go to the pole, fortunately, the North Pole.
Right.
And, of course, I must tell you that back in 1991, the day before we were steaming to the pole, the skies cleared up. Usually it's very overcast. And they said, wow, it's incredibly open water. We're going to have an easy go of this. And, in fact, it's so clear, we're going to give you all a treat, and you can ride up while we're doing helicopter reconnaissance to see what's the best routes we should take, and let you go up and take some pictures. And I was shocked that we were so close to the pole, and there were vast tracts of open water. And this was in the summer, the end of the summer, when you have the least amount. But here we are at the top of the world, and I expected it to be chock full of ice. And so I didn't realize at the time, I was a young student, I didn't realize that since, if you look at the ice extent up in the Arctic and you look at the natural cycle up there, it bounces around the first part of the century. Then around 1950, the summer sea ice extent starts taking this dramatic downturn, and it's been just on this downturn cycle. It has little wiggles in it, but it's just going down and down and down. So I was sitting there in 90 when we were already melting the summer sea ice extent. And this means that the polar bears have to swim further in between the ice floes while they're hunting their food.
Right.
And the sea ice dependent animals and marine fauna, their habitat is shrinking in the summer. And so this is certain species on this planet, if they cannot adapt and figure out new ways to live, if their habitat may be shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. For example, if you are migrating, species are already migrating northward, southward, so poleward, and uphill. They're basically going up the mountains as the temperatures keep cranking up down below. Once you get to the top of the mountaintop as a species, and then it gets too hot for you to survive, you can't go any higher. There is no more mountain to go to. It's the same thing with people are very concerned about all the species that have adapted to living just in the Arctic sea ice. It's a very special environment up there.
So it is that much gone?
The pictures are incredibly dramatic. We've been fortunate to see satellites since the late 70s, and we've seen the sea ice extent basically decrease a huge amount in the summer. It's on the order of 15%, and it just keeps going down. And so this is way beyond the natural variability. We know a lot of what determines the sea ice extent. And what's even worse is that the volume of ice, which is a very hard number to get at, and we're trying to get better data, it looks like that is decreasing at a more rapid pace, and maybe as much as 40%, but we're still trying to work on that number since the last several decades.
Doctor, why is it so much worse in the north?
That is a really good question. A lot of it has to do with if you go out on a – if you go in California, if you go up to the Sierras and you are out there skiing on the Sierra Mountains, you know just how fast you can get a sunburn on your face. And you need the glasses. And anywhere you have snow, the sunlight coming down, basically 90% of that sunlight is reflected back out to space. When you melt back that snow, say in the Sierra Nevadas, or up in the Arctic, you have the sea ice that is very white. You melt it back, and now you expose a dark ocean. Or in the Sierra Nevada mountains, you're exposing a dark soil. Now the sunlight comes down, hits that dark soil or the dark ocean, and now you're absorbing most of the energy that before was reflected back into space. And now what you've done is that's accelerating the warming, because as soon as you melt back a little bit, you've changed from reflecting 90% of your energy to almost reflecting 90% to absorbing that energy. Then you've now heating up the ocean and you're heating up the ground. And then that hotter ground can in turn melt the adjacent ice or snow.